Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical, sometimes.
Hello!
Welcome to Musical Improv Comedy, a special edition.
This is the last time we're going to say special edition.
But it is.
Well, it is, today is very special.
You can't keep saying it's the last time because it could just keep getting more and more special.
No, but if you listen to the last six podcasts, we always say, and welcome to a very special edition.
This is a very, very special
this
edition.
This is a very special
I'm
edition.
Joe Samuel.
I'm Heather Eckhart.
So we were fortunate enough to be invited backstage at the Comedy Store to have a chat to the Comedy Store players themselves.
Yeah. What a privilege.
It was a treat, and we managed to record some of that for you loyal listeners.
So you're going to hear backstage at the Comedy Store in a minute.
Yeah, where like leading lights of comedy have all trod the boards.
It's going to be so real, you'll be able to almost smell the excitement, the adrenaline, the grease paint, the roar of the crowd.
You hear the door opening and closing.
Yeah, you're going to hear all of that in a minute.
Amazing. Should we do a quick name check?
Yeah, let's.
Okay, so we saw Neil Mullarkey.
Yeah, we saw Josie Lawrence.
And we saw Lee Simpson.
And we saw Andy Smart.
And we saw Richard Branch.
And we saw Steve Steen.
Yes, we did. So we started by asking Neil Mullarkey and Richard Branch how the whole thing began.
So I'll tell you, we started in 1985, so it's nearly our 30th anniversary.
Is it true that you're the longest running comedy show with the same cast?
Yes, we managed to... through the good offices of Richard and his research for the Time Out listings, near the ladies' toilet, there's a plaque, the Guinness Book of Records. Because, of course, there are other long-running comedy groups, and the Mousetrap and so forth.
Of course.
We are basically the same people who've been around for all that time.
The Footlights must be the oldest. That's about 130 years.
I suppose that's the longest.
Of course, that changes every couple of years because the students
have
changed.
Well, yeah, you guys have been in from the start. Yeah.
Well, I'm a new boy. I only joined in 86.
Oh, wow.
So we were at university together, so
right.
Neil was the kindest thing anyone's ever done was to invite me to come and join this, and I've been doing it
ever since. Ever done?
Ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever sat down and counted how many shows you've done?
No, but I know I've done more than anyone else because I tend to do less touring elsewhere, and I was doing every Wednesday and Sunday for many years, so I know one or two people would like that title, but I'm afraid if it came to the stats, I've got it written down.
It's you.
Yeah, it's by a long way as well.
I've got it written down.
Yeah, I've done more shows at the Comedy Store than any other comedian.
Congratulations!
Yeah,
you should get your own plaque for that.
I'm not a big shower offer, but there are a couple of things I would like nailed to the wall when I go.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
So we started doing Sundays in 85, and then the Comedy Store was only open as a comedy club, Fridays and Saturdays before that, doing stand-up. And we think it was a sort of mixture of the Comedy Store approaching Kid Hollabuck, who'd worked with Robin Williams in San Francisco, and a guy called Dave Cohen, who is a comedian and now a writer on Havoc News and stuff. And they said, we'll do Sunday nights improv. Nobody knew about improv then, particularly then. So we started, the first half of the show was stand-up. We were allowed to do the second half only. Within a few months, they said, you have the whole night, if you like. Because improv was not a thing, really. People had heard about devising shows, improvising Mike Lee type thing, to create a
and
script.
Keith Johnson sort of...
Yeah.
There was also Trouble in Public, and Andy Harmon, and Jim and Steve, Jim Sweeney.
On the broadcasting. Yeah, yeah. They had done a lot of this stuff. But it wasn't in the general sensibility, I suppose. And then after a year, the man who runs the Comedy Store, Don Moore, said, it's just not working. I can't afford to pay you. Just take a door split.
Wow.
So we thought that would be the end of it. But within a few weeks, we kind of picked up again. And then Whose Line came along in 88 or so. And then by this stage, the Comedy Store was open, because it had a sublet to discos. It was open now for comedy Thursdays and Tuesdays. And they said, why don't you do Wednesdays? Well, are you sure? We can't do a second night. Maybe it'll come. So we thought, we'll try this out. We said, well, what we'll do is make sure it's different, we'll try out new games and stuff. And this was October 1989. And then we were sold out the first show.
That's amazing.
It is extraordinary.
And it's a cliche question, but does it still feel fresh when you get out there?
It does. Because, as you know, it's just a joyous thing.
We're too old and jaded to pretend, really. If we really let it show how we feel. If things go wrong, we embrace them, we don't try and cover them up.
Yeah.
If we think something's a bit, we're so kind of used to doing the show, we can sort of step out of it and do a show about the show. And so there are many levels of intrigue that we have that keep it fresh.
That keep it fresh for you and gives a sort of nod to the knowing audience.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, I mean, we get people that come see every one of our shows.
Wow.
We have had people that have come for years on end. Some of our regulars now aren't exactly every show, but once
a... They'll come once a week. There was a group who comes with virtually every show. They even had a sort of facsimile of our website called comedystoreregulars.com with pictures of them in similar poses to us. In fact, two of them met each other and are now married.
Oh.
They've now moved on to other things. And so I don't know if anybody there tonight.
I'm not sure,
but if they were,
it's very, very nice, and they're very loyal, and they're very lovely, and they could tell you things about the show that we don't know.
Yeah.
Also, I'd imagine the dynamics between you, having worked for that long together. I mean, like your sort of how you know each other and your trust and your dynamics on stage. That must be a lovely thing to play with, surely.
Yes, as you'll see, Andy Smart, who will be in soon, tends to talk about his life quite openly on stage. So,
yeah, it's a version of it. It's a storyteller's version. I've been very, very careful not to say anything in the dressing room before you go on, because it will reverberate.
Okay, because then you'll get it back in your face.
When the last show, we had somebody who told one of their favourite jokes, which is quite a risque joke, and it came up in the middle of the show. It made no sense to anyone except us. But it was okay. It wasn't too self-indulgent.
No, there's a thin line which we cross constantly, which is making ourselves laugh, flexing the audience. But it keeps the sense of play, at least.
I think if the audience can see you're playing, you're having fun, and that comes across, even if they're not quite sure.
And then sometimes just stop the scene and say, can I just explain? Andy told us earlier on that he's had this issue with XYZ.
I mean, I think if we're not enjoying it, how can you expect them to?
And can I just say, into the room has come Lee Simpson.
Hello.
Hi, Lee.
I wanted to ask you about the kind of audiences you've had and whether that's changed over the years, because we're like massive improv nerds and also quite evangelical about the fact that the second coming, you know, the wave when it becomes this mainstream popular thing is going to come back and it'll be on every channel and every TV. But I'm interested to know whether have your audiences changed over the last few years? Have you noticed more different demographics of people coming to see you? Or
I would say not necessarily. We sometimes get the offspring of people who liked us when they were in their 20s. And I wouldn't say there's a particular change.
We've always had a strange demographic compared to most comedy, especially in the Comedy Store, in that we get a wide age range from 18, which you have to be right through to as old as you can imagine. Mm. And they all enjoy the show equally. People come with their grandparents and parents and children. And you can't really do that with a stand-up. In fact, even with your mates, you either like a stand-up or you don't. It's very personal, like a pop band. Whereas, because our show, you know, as you know, the improv chops and changes from minute to minute. Mm. Generally, audiences are happy throughout, and that's always been the case. We did notice when Whose Line first came out, which was 27 years ago, a lot of people coming along who'd never seen it before and were whooping and roaring. It's a bit like sort of being a pop star when we did big theatres, when we first, you know, sort of blazed the trail of doing theatres, which no comedy in this country had done until the Comedy Store Players did, under the producership of Nika Burns, who does the Perry Awards. So we blazed a lot of trails there, and those audiences were whoopy.
And here comes Andy Smart.
Hello.
Hi,
we've got Heather and Joe here.
Hi.
I mean, you have a range of kind of guest performers as well, don't you?
We do allow, as I said, mostly it's people over 50, but we've allowed some people in under 40, I think.
Who have you had in?
Well, actually, over the 30 years, we've had some hilarious people. There was a thing of where people who were
That's a picture of Robert Vaughan, who actually used it from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Hustle.
Okay.
And The Magnificent Seven.
And The Magnificent Seven. Yes. That would be a more relevant reference back to cineasts like you. But there was a period in the 80s or 90s when people from Neighbours, Australian actors, would come over. And they said, we've heard about it. So we had Dr. Clive Gibbons, if you remember him.
Oh, I've seen that on your website. That's the guy who played Clive.
And what was the girl called? Well, Melanie was the character name.
Melanie, yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking about that character just the other day because she had a crazy laugh.
That was her thing, crazy.
Yeah. Lucinda Cadden, really, really nice, good girl. Yes. She did a lot of shows in Manchester. For a couple of years we did Manchester on Thursdays.
Oh, yeah, Mark Little, who was Joe Mangle.
Oh, I've done a show with Mark.
Yeah, he lives in Brighton, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's put on a show.
So he's done a lot of improv in Australia.
Yeah.
And we've done shows elsewhere. So at the Regent's Park Theatre, we've had Nicholas Parsons,
of course.
Peter Egan,
Mark Rylance.
Mark Rylance, we've had here a couple of times because we do Shakespeare's Globe. Tony Slattery, Greg Poots, Mike McShane.
And you've all collaborated with these people in other projects over the time.
Here and there, yes. So there's been a wide variety of people. We even had Dan Patterson once, producing whose line is it anyway? Paul was translating, we do a foreign translator game.
Yeah.
And Paul was translating him and somehow managed to get Dan to take off his trousers to reveal his wife fronts.
So then we watched the show and caught up with them again afterwards.
Tell them about musical improv.
No, it's lovely.
When did you first improvise music?
I mean, I suppose really I might have improvised songs when at college and at school, definitely. You know, just making up songs like kids do.
Did you have accompaniment or did you just...
No, it would be just in the... Yeah, changing the words to pop songs.
Because it started you singing blues, wasn't it?
Yeah, we sang blues, and then which was very much like what Ronnie McDonald...
It started with Mac McDonald
and Ronnie Golden.
And then they stopped doing it, so we used to trade rhymes then. You used to sing the first two lines and I'd finish the rhyme, then I'd start the next one and you'd finish it. We just did blues.
And then we thought, let's do styles.
So different styles, so it's just taking a style and an object.
Style and an object,
And then it expanded into a story, a narration.
But, yeah, that's how it happened, I really enjoyed it. I don't think I'd be able to do song styles now, because there's so many song styles out there that... I don't know what they are anymore, you know.
It was interesting tonight as well how much the music really is such a pamphlet, isn't it? I mean,
they love it.
They love it. They love it as well. I mean, that just does it every time.
They love it.
They've
always really loved it. And it's a great thing to do. It's not something I think about. I just like doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You can tell they really enjoy doing it.
Yeah, really enjoy
it. Do you always drag this lot into making sing all the time?
Yes.
Neil, you sang tonight.
I did.
Yay, Neil sang!
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's just the commitment thing, isn't it? That's what I really noticed tonight, is that everything that all of you did, it was just like, get on, have fun, commit to it, and that makes it...
And also, you see, sometimes, depending on the audience, I like to call it extreme impro sometimes, because what's great about the place is that a lot of people who come because it's the Comedy Store, they don't realise until they get here that they're actually going to watch an impro show. And so it's a nice feeling when you get people that are just being introduced to it and they enjoy it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Richard Branch was an excellent MC.
Yeah, he introduced the whole show, he had loads of energy. He got loads of laughs just for getting the audience to call out and to practice their suggestions at the start.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, that must be a curse to have heard all of those suggestions for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's amazing to watch that show and it feels so fresh and they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I just was totally blown away by how good and how professional everybody in the cast was.
There were no pauses and silences and looking around to see whose go it was.
No, so there was just like a weight of experience on that stage.
Yeah.
And it was just palpable professionalism and looking at people at the top of their game who know what they're doing.
Yes, and they were, as individuals, very, very funny and clever people. But as a team, they obviously had the experience to know what was going to land and when it was going to land. As in, it just felt like, okay, they got straight to the thing that was going to just make everyone laugh. And a lot of music.
Oh, God, yeah. That's what we should be talking about, music. So a little bit of background as to why we actually ended up at this show is that the lovely Neil Malarkey has come and done a bit of singing with us before, despite the fact that he thinks he cannot sing. Neil, if you listen to this podcast, it's not true, you can bloody sing.
Yeah, you just need to know that.
So we were aware that there was a bit of music in the show, and so we were crowbarring our podcast in to come and see the guys and interview them, despite the fact that we were thinking it wouldn't be a particularly musical show, and we are musical improv comedy.
Mm.
But it was a really musical show.
It was. There was loads of singing in it, lots of incredible rhyming, wonderful songs. There was a big long-form musical piece at the start of the second half.
Yeah, all of it brilliant.
It was hilarious.
And a real treat for me to see Josie live singing, because she is a huge hero of mine in terms of the musical improv.
Yeah.
Fantastic singing voice, and just, you know, she's a rhyming machine.
Yeah, she is.
So it was just a treat, a real treat, and to have that much music as well and done very well.
Anyway, we've talked enough, I think.
I think we probably have.
This podcast is about your behind-the-scenes glimpse at the Comedy Store Players.
If you want to see short-form improv killed and nailed to the post like you've never seen before,
go to their show.
It's amazing.
And go more than once, because as they say, it's different every single time. Totally. I'm going to go back again.
I'm definitely going back again.
Thanks, guys. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Yes, we did. Bye.
Bye.